but not for the
quiet, please, ladies and gentlemen.
You ready for the big show?
In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Trump is the man who can save the Western world, and probably the human beings as well.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network. Lars. And now.
Then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
Almost lost my wife, my 67 Corvette, and my cat.
Lars Larson.
We want to be warm in the winter, and we want to be cool in the summer, and we want to prevent the climate from collapsing all year long. And there is no greater invention in human history to do those three things than a heat pump.
That is Jay Inslee, or Climate Jay, as we like to call him in Washington State, and this is the Lars Larson Show. Glad to be with you on a Monday. I can't believe what Jay Inslee is doing, but he's about to do it to you, and he's about to do it to me. And he's going to do it to other people in the Northwest. He says, we want to be warm in the wintertime and cool in the summer, and we want to save the planet from collapsing around us. The planet and the climate are not collapsing around us. Jay Inslee has been smoking something. But this does not make any sense. It is going to do a lot of damage to Washington State. And I want to talk about that just a bit and tell you how it's going to come about. Because it's not going to come from your elected state representatives. They don't have the courage to do this kind of terrible thing to you and to me. But what they do is they let the bureaucracy do it instead. First, though, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Monday, and we're live on the Radio Northwest Network. Now nearly 24 years of serving the Pacific Northwest states, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, with honestly provocative talk on a great network of 26 radio stations in Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. Let me tell you what Jay Inslee is talking about. He is promising that in about the next 6.5 years, that he will quadruple the number of people who are going to buy heat pumps and install them in their homes. Now, if Jay Inslee was merely saying, we're going to make sure that people have that choice available, the choice is already available. It has been available for decades. What Jay Inslee wants to do is ram that down your throat, or use the building codes of the state of Washington to force a choice on you that I don't think is very sensible at all. But let me build the case for it. First, though, if you want to join the best conversation in talk journalism, it's right here at 866-HEY-LARS. And if you happen to be a naysayer, we'll put you right to the head of the line at 866-439-5277. You can send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com, and you can vote in our Twitter poll as well. We put up a brand new question each and every day of the week. And today, this one's suggested by the Taxpayers Association of Oregon. And the question is, should Oregon and Washington cut their tax burden on citizens as 25 other states in America have done in the last 2 years? Starting in 2021, there are blue liberal states that have actually said it makes sense to cut the taxes. I don't have to talk about Idaho, because Idaho has already seen its governor and its legislature cut taxes already. So I'm merely asking you, should Oregon and Washington follow suit? Half of America's 50 states, that's 58 if you're an Obama fan or maybe a Joe Biden fan, but for the rest of us, 50 states, half of them have already cut the tax burden on citizens. Oregon has not. In fact, Oregon is in the top 10 for income tax rates. It's a huge tax burden. Washington State, not a whole lot better. So, should Oregon and Washington cut taxes as 25 other states have done? I would say yes to that. You can vote any way you like. At Lars Larson Show is one place to find the question. Also on our website at LarsLarson.com. Brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. If you rely on trucks for business, Ultimate keeps your biggest assets on the road and running right. Find them at UltimateTruckService.com. Now let me get back to Jay Inslee, who has, you know, he wanted to make a big splash when he went back to speak at the United Nations. And what he had to say was, We're going to make the number of people using heat pumps to both heat and cool their homes, we're going to make that number quadruple, and we're going to do it by 2030, which means he's promising to do it in the next 6.5 years. And if you want a hint as to how Jay Inslee plans to do this without actually asking your representatives to vote for it, because they won't. They will not ask your representatives to vote for it. Thing is, conservative representatives, real Republicans, would vote no on that. And if you say, yeah, but Lars, the Democrats have a pretty solid majority in Olympia, they'll simply override what the Republicans do. You know, most of the Democrats don't want to vote for that kind of ban either. They don't want to ban natural gas, which is the only way you're going to get it done. So instead, they're going to do it through the bureaucracy. Remember when Donald Trump warned us about the deep state? He said, you've got to be fearful of the deep state, and we have to control the deep state. Well, there's a deep state at the state level as well. And for example, the Washington Energy Code Council. And if you say to yourself, Lars, I've never heard of those people. I certainly didn't vote for them. I don't know their names. What exactly are they? They're the folks who decide what the codes are when you build things in Washington State. The Washington Energy Code Council has removed a mandate for heat pumps in new houses and apartments, although the delayed update still maintains certain regulations that building industry advocates say constitutes a veritable ban on natural gas. They haven't actually banned it. They've simply said, if you want to use natural gas, it is going to cost your customer a whole ton of money, or you can simply do what Jay wants you to do. That's the way they get around saying, we haven't banned natural gas. Anybody who wants to pay enough cash can still use natural gas. In fact, Building Industry Associate Executive Vice President Greg Lane says the council will insist on unnecessary new codes that restrict access to natural gas for new homeowners, restaurants, and other businesses and drive up the cost of housing with no discernible gain in energy efficiency. So why would they do that? Because Jay Inslee wants to brag that he forced people to use heat pumps instead of natural gas. Only Jay doesn't have much courage, does he? Because in the last 9 months, we've watched as gasoline prices have gone up at least 60 cents a gallon because of a climate carbon tax that Jay Inslee and the legislature put on. Only when somebody asks Jay Inslee, says, Governor Inslee, didn't you put on this carbon tax? Hasn't that raised the cost of gasoline by 60 cents a gallon? Isn't that restricting the ability of citizens to buy the fuel that they need every day? Jay Inslee denies that he did it. He says, no, what I did, that didn't raise the cost of gasoline. You see, there are people like Jay Inslee who want to do things to you, but they don't actually want to admit that they're the ones who did it. In the same way that Jay Inslee wants to be able to brag why we've dramatically increased the people using heat pumps. Well, how'd you do that? Did you force them to do it? Well, effectively, yes. If you make it economically impossible to use the most economical form of energy, natural gas, for heating space, for heating water, for doing things in industry, but you don't actually want to vote through a ban on natural gas, you just say, we're going to use the energy codes to make it too expensive for people to use natural gas. And then what's their alternative? Wood, coal, heating your house with diesel oil? No, it's going to be a heat pump, and Jay Inslee will be able to take all of the credit without taking any of the blame for what he did. Glad to have you with me on a Monday. Coming up in a moment, I got to talk about Donald Trump, because a new poll shows that if the election were held today, Donald Trump would just mop the floor with demented old Joe Biden. A huge landslide victory on the way, and you've got the Lars Larson Show. Summer is fast approaching, and now's the perfect time to get new asphalt or repair the pavement you already have. Hey, it's Lars for Signature Paving. Call today and get on Signature's schedule and avoid the muddy tires and crumbled asphalt we all know are coming when the leaves start to fall. And remember, Signature Paving can do whatever it takes to get you ready for the change in seasons. Paving, striping, curbing, patch repairs, and overlays. Mike and his team deliver it all, and the work is always performed by their own employees with their own own equipment, no subcontractors here. That means better scheduling and complete control to finish your project on time and on budget. Get your asphalt ready like I did. Call Signature Paving today, 503-554-8553. That's 554-8553. Or find them at SignaturePavingServices.com. That's SignaturePavingServices.com. Signature Paving, their name, your guarantee. CCB 135-293.
Your nose is the body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne allergens, bacteria, and viruses. You wash your hands to protect your health. Now you can clean your nose with Navage. Online at Navage.com. Navage. Clean nose. Healthy life.
It's trending now on FM News 101 KXL.
Hollywood is breathing a huge sigh of relief. They made gains on AI.
A bar fight Friday night leads to a stabbing in downtown Portland.
Congress now has just 5 days to either pass 12 annual bills to fund the government or pass a short-term fix.
Salem firefighters said the city is challenging death benefits owed to the family of a fallen firefighter.
Stay connected with FM News 101 and KXL.com. If you don't like the Lars Larson Show, maybe you should get tested. One of the symptoms is losing your sense of taste. Let's go, Brandon. This is the Lars Larson Show.
That makes a lot of sense. A lot of nonsense.
Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to sit.
This is the Northwest Nonsense.
How much longer do we have to sit for this nonsense?
That great moment every day where Lars brings you the cold, hard facts without any liberal wokeness from the Daily Dead fish wrapper or mainstream media bias.
Donald Trump clearly scares Democrats out of their minds, and they plan to do whatever it takes, legal or not, to stop him. The best evidence, a brand new poll this week shows that Donald Trump would mop the floor with demented old Joe Biden if we held that election today. The poll from, not a conservative source, ABC News and Jeff Bezos' newspaper, The Washington Post, shows Donald Trump would defeat Joe Biden 52-42%. You can't exactly accuse the pollsters of bias by saying, well, that comes from Fox News, which used to be conservative, or the Wall Street Journal, which still is. Disapproval ratings for Joe Biden have hit the highest level of his presidency, 56% as of last week. Not a surprise, given a terrible economy, massive inflation of consumer goods approaching 20%, a deadly exit from one war, and now a multi-billion dollar war that Joe Biden practically invited Vladimir Putin to start. So, four different prosecution attacks on Donald Trump. Indictments totaling almost 100, mostly for engaging in free speech. Who knew that it would ever become criminal to engage in free speech in America, despite a mainstream media that routinely ignores the Biden gaffes and never lets up on Trump? The Make America Great Again president enjoys a 10 percentage point advantage. Impeachment threatens Joe, and Biden crime family foot soldier Hunter, he faces decades in prison if he's convicted of just the gun charges, and they haven't even got to the tax charges yet. Expect the party of slavery to attack Donald Trump again and again and again. It's going to happen over the next 12 months. Our question of the day, and it's signed by an emailer who signs himself Wet Polish. Hey, Lars, do you know of the best or any concealed carry insurance? Thanks for all you do. Well, Washington State, under its former insurance commissioner, Kreidler, basically made concealed carry insurance impossible to get in Washington State. So I wish I did know of one. I don't know of one right now. USCCA is a great organization, but as far as I can tell, they're no longer selling insurance, liability insurance in Washington State. And now today's Daily Grill.
Insane.
Are you completely insane?
Ridiculous.
They get more and more ridiculous.
Flat out dumb.
You're even dumber than I thought.
Who deserves today's Lars Grill of the Day?
Maybe you're just really, really stupid.
Find out right now.
Well, I'm going to give the Daily Grill to both the University of Washington Medical Center and to Oregon Health and Science University. Both of them make a lot of money on puberty blockers and hormone nonsense aimed at gender. Well, there's some brand new research out of Great Britain that shows that over one-third of all children placed on puberty blockers and hormone drugs suffer from severe mental health deterioration afterwards. And I already know without even asking that the gender benders up on Pill Hill at OHSU, and I suspect the same of the people at the University of Washington, we have called those two institutions so many times saying we'd like to ask some questions about what you're doing to the children. But since those Mengelas make a lot of moolah on chemical castration of teen boys and double mastectomies and puberty blockers for teen girls, I thought I would highlight the long-term study of what it does to kids. And think about this. You got a lot of parents who are buying into this woke ideology, saying, go ahead, my boy says he's a girl, my girl says she's a boy, go ahead and give her the drugs, and we'll let the consequences be damned. Long term, we don't know for a fact what this is going to do. And some of those in the medical establishment already admit they don't know what it's going to do, but they do it anyway. Can you imagine that ending well anyway? Gary writes in with today's best email, and then I'll get to calls. Gary writes, Lars, a while back there was a protest by the school closest to the MOTA Center, that would be Portland, due to the widening of the I-5 freeway because of a bad bottleneck. The thought behind it was going to entice more people to drive cars and destroy the atmosphere and, of course, kill off the kids in a historically black community. First of all, it's Oregon. It rains 7 months a year and it gets cold. Most humans don't want to walk 6 blocks in the rain to stand in the cold weather to get on transportation with a whole bunch of crazy people who might do you physical harm, rob you, when they can get in their own car and travel when and where they want and park right next door to the place they're going to. The big thing is, though, that rather than make it a teachable moment, they teach the kids to protest. What kind of mileage does a car get doing zero sitting in traffic? I did the math. Zero. And then they go from sitting to 10 miles an hour and get a mile per gallon. Then they sit there and get 0 miles per gallon. Bottom line, let the kids be kids. Don't strap them down with problems that they have no life experience with. However, get them to do their math, their science, their biology. Mankind is actually pretty clever when they think rather than panic. They've created amazing things. We have machines that'll do the work of 100 people in a day. Yes, they pollute, but not nearly as much as the 100 people would. I'm certainly hoping that people might choose thinking and sanity for a bit. Send those emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. Let's go to Sarah in Snohomish, listening on the Radio Northwest Network and KVI. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the program on a Monday. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Lars. I actually called laughing because of your comments about reporting that Inslee wanted everyone to get a heat pump. That that's going to save the world. My husband and I, the first house we bought together had a heat pump, and yep. It was very nice. We had heat in the winter. We had air conditioning in the summer. However, we also had an incredibly high electric bill.
You think?
To the point where during the summer, I turned it off and would open a window. Now I live in a house that has no heat pump. It actually doesn't even have ductwork. It actually has those cadet heaters in every room. So if you mandate everyone get a heat pump, what am I going to do? I have no way of doing it, nor would I want it because they're stupidly expensive.
Yes, you know, they are. And, Sarah, I can, from a practical standpoint, although nobody would accuse me of being an HVAC expert, here's how they're going to do it. There's a thing called a mini split where you buy a heat pump that costs a lot of money. You place it outside the house. Then you run through the walls copper tubing, and basically either refrigerant or heated fluid flows through that tubing. And it goes to these units. They look really attractive. Hanging on your wall, they're about 3 feet long, about 10 inches high, about 10 or 12 inches deep. And you put one in every room that you want to have either heat or cooling in, and that costs some money. But, you know, you point out something that's right, and that is you can't take a house that doesn't have ductwork in it and very easily add ductwork. It can be done. It costs a bundle of money. And they're going to require this in new housing. But, Sarah, you know, believe me when I tell you this, There are communities that have already said it's illegal to install natural gas in any new building, commercial or residential. And they'll start with the new ones. Then they'll say, oh, you're doing a major remodel. Well, you'll be required to decommission that evil gas furnace of yours. And you say, but there's still 10 or 12 years life in it. Say, doesn't matter. Send it to the dump. Buy a mini split or two or three of them, and you'll have to do that. And you'll say, but that's going to cost me a bundle of money. Who's going to pay the bill? Well, it ain't going to be Jay Inslee. It's going to be you and your family, Sarah. And this is why I really hate that the government is going to serve us by telling us, tear out your perfectly good furnace and water heater, replace them with something that runs on electricity. And, oh, by the way, we pretty much know that the region is heading into electricity shortages. Sarah, vote the way your pocketbook tells you to when it comes to November of next year. It's the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show. Portland's news, traffic, and weather station. FM News 101, KXL. The news in 60 seconds.
CBS News Brief. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez says bribery allegations against him are just allegations following his federal indictment, and he's not resigning.
Instead of waiting for all the facts to be presented, others have rushed to judgment because they see a political opportunity for themselves or those around them.
Hollywood writers are ready to get back to work when their new contract clears. Kevin Frazier's with Entertainment Tonight.
We will see in 2 to 3 weeks, once this deal gets done, that the late night shows will be up and running. They are ready to go. They are very adamant that they want to get started.
The White House says President Biden will be out marching with striking auto workers tomorrow in Detroit. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
He has said, and they have said, he's the most pro-union president in history. And that is what he's doing. He is going to stand in solidarity at the picket line with the workers.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Got a crash I-5 northbound just prior to where you get into the Twitiger curves. Left lane is blocked. That backs it up back towards the Capitol Highway overpass. Still have a couple of lanes blocked eastbound on Highway 30 over in the Linton area due to a downed tree. This report is sponsored by Compassion International. Drought, war, and rising food prices have doubled the number of families facing malnutrition. You can help. $50 provides a food kit to feed a family for a month. Just text the word radio to 97646. From the KXL Traffic Center, I'm Michael Convery.
Temperatures are going to be in the mid-60s next couple days. Some breezy south winds. There's a storm chance, thunderstorm chance over the coast today, but not for the inland valley. So for now, enjoy the rain. I'm Rod Hill, FM News 101.
Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham at Bulwark Capital, now on KXL, Saturday mornings at 8. It's Lars. Know Your Risk Radio entertains you and keeps you up to date on today's investing. It helps you plan a successful retirement. Zach brings the heavy hitters, like Dr. Ben Hunt of EpsilonTheory.com, Kevin Muir at Winter Capital, author of Macro Tourist Newsletter, Brent Johnson, CEO at Santiago Capital. Know Your Risk Radio brought you the new research from one of America's biggest investment banks. It shows that old idea of a 60-40 stock-to-bond portfolio way out of date. Zach's talked about that on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Using bonds as the safe part of your portfolio, that's a gamble, and you don't want to gamble on retirement. Know Your Risk Radio comes to you Saturday mornings at 8 on KXL. Download the podcast at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice can't be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to do business. Bulwark Capital's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k or IRA? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. You've been lied to by the Wall Street fat cats who get paid whether you win or lose. They say risk your life savings in the stock market, but studies show people who follow that advice will outlive their savings by a staggering 10 years. They say max out your contributions to 401ks, but the man who invented the 401k now says it's a monster that should be destroyed. They say defer paying your taxes to retire in a lower tax bracket. But retirees who fell for that lie are paying higher taxes than ever. Now get a free report exposing the wealth-killing lies you've been told and discover the proven retirement plan alternative Wall Street fat cats hope you never hear about. You can get guaranteed competitive growth every year and tax-free retirement income. Get your free report now at bankonyourself.com/plan. That's bankonyourself.com/plan. bankonyourself.com/plan.
Lars Larson on FM News 101 KXL.
Why look so awfully tragic? Put on a happy face.
Yes, he has a face for radio. All the same, check out the Lars Rumble Daily at Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show, and welcome back to the Radio Northwest Network on a Monday. Always glad to get to your calls, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But I've got to talk to you about something that I have an example, and it involves a friend of mine. So I have to disclose I have a dog in the fight. I've known Terry Emmerich for decades, and I think well of him. And I think the community thinks well of him. He's been in the business of moving giant objects like a million-pound rock or an oil refinery or a hotel or even the Spruce Goose. But he also owns a lot of businesses, and he develops land. And he takes, you know, failing enterprises and turn them into successes. Only in this case, the one big obstacle you can't get out of your way is when the government comes to you and says you are not allowed to run a club for people playing tennis because it's in a neighborhood. Now, it gets a lot more complicated than that, but I'll let Terry tell the story. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you, Lars. Well, no, we've owned the Eastmoreland Racquet Club for many years, and the Eastmoreland Racquet Club started off with tennis, and they had outside sports court and basketball and swimming and all sorts of different activities. And then in the 90s, we added a basketball court because maybe exactly in the 2000s, maybe the early 2000s, we added a basketball court because, you know, we owned a team, the International League, and we wanted to have our own home court. And in the cities at first said, well, you shouldn't do that. And then they said, no, that's fine. And so we did. And that went along. But then eventually we had put more courts in and did not do as much with the indoor tennis at all. We did have pickleball, and we did have volleyball, and we did have basketball, and we also had futsal. All ball sports. We had a ruling that we've been fighting for a couple of years. Some of the neighbors got together and sued. They sued the city and they sued us, saying that we should have had a conditional use change. In other words, if George Moreland was selling cast iron pipe in the 50s and he changed to plastic, I guess he should have got a conditional use change, which is just crazy. Anyway,
that's a great metaphor for it. So now the 15 or so homeowners who live in your neck of the or have homes that used to be owned by the tennis club, by the way, they've now said, we don't want this racket club, even though it offers pickleball, which is now in much bigger demand. And people are asking you, Terry, why don't you take this thing and open it up for pickleball? You don't have it open for anything at this point because the city has effectively said it's illegal to have a ball sport complex of any kind in this area?
Yeah, right next door to the golf course where there's balls flying on over all the time into the courts. Yes, I guess that's what they're saying. And I'd hate to have, well, you know, the golf courses have started playing soccer golf, and I wonder if they got a conditional use change to change the size of the ball. I never thought of that.
Hey, by the way, who owns that golf course that's next to you? And the golf course is okay, but the tennis slash racquetball slash handball slash pickleball slash basketball court is not okay. Who owns that golf course?
The city of Portland.
Oh, so the city says its sports complex in the middle of a neighborhood is perfectly okay, but a private sector sports complex is against the rules.
Yeah. You know, Lars, it's so frustrating. It's hard to talk about, but I think one of the things that we ought to think about is really where is our law enforcement? I know our neighbors are not happy now. We have a person, a full-time caretaking the facility, helping to protect the property because, you know, it's received vandalism and graffiti and break-ins, and people have been threatened. Employees have been threatened by the people who are on drugs or some of the homeless people. By the way, haven't seen the Multnomah County prosecute either. I think that one of the things that really bothers me is the amount of property taxes all of us Oregonians pay for law enforcement and for services. Really, why are we paying for services when services are not rendered?
I agree.
I mean, maybe we should deduct, and it's certainly not our police officers' fault. Their hands are being tied by those up the ladder. And the DA ought to be prosecuting crimes, and we wouldn't have such an exodus of businesses out of downtown Portland, and actually exodus out of our state. We need to stand up as American citizens and demand our constitutional rights of law enforcement and a proper system.
By the way, Terry, before we leave the sports club altogether, because I want to get back to this. So you got 5 acres there. It's currently a sports club. It's all shut down. And despite all the people who come to you and say, why aren't you letting our kids play pickleball there or other sports? Because sports do change in popularity. I mean, there are sports that get popular for a time, and then they're not as popular for a time, as you said, and new ones come in. What are you allowed to do with that 5 acres?
Well, it's actually 10 acres.
Oh, sorry.
And a little over 10 acres. And it has everything from volleyball to basketball to tennis courts to volleyball, sand volleyball courts. We are allowed to pay the property taxes. We are allowed to pay the city of Portland almost, $3,000 or $4,000 a month for the rainwater that hits our roof, but we can't use it.
Are you allowed to use the land for anything? What would they be if you wanted to make City Hall happy? And I know that's usually not your goal, nor is it mine. What would you be allowed to do with those 10 acres?
You could build high-end housing right on the golf course. And I guess maybe some of the elite players that come to play for the Blazers, it would make a great gated home site for $4 or $5 million homes. And they could have a 50,000 square foot with 6 indoor basketball courts and locker rooms, swimming pool, and dining area. I guess you also could make it a center for what the city and the county and the state want to support.
Is there a prospect? I mean, other than becoming a giant homeless camp, and there's always that possibility, what is the city is there any prospect for you to get your rights back to actually run it as a sports complex the way it was when you bought it in 95?
Well, the city said we would have to apply for a conditional use, and then that would take the neighbors that are on our driveway coming in because they'd have the right to say their opinion. I do believe the city would approve it because it's logical. There are no sports facility for our kids to go to. I mean, even Cleveland High School only has one basketball court. And we used to let Cleveland High School bring their students down, their freshman or a sophomore, a junior, or varsity basketball teams, men or women, and play at our facility. And so it would be a great thing for our community. Our neighbors to the
What's the reason, in the last 30 seconds I've got, Terry, what's the reason not to do that? Is it just expense or what?
Well, it would take time, and we could do that. And it would be nice if our neighbors would reach out and say, you know, we would feel much safer with activity there instead of 10 acres where people could camp and vandalize and attack their homes, because their homes are all very vulnerable from the backside, and the club always was a deterrent to keep people out of the neighborhood.
No doubt. As Terry Amert owns a sports club, the city of Portland says it's been there for decades, but you have to come back to us hat in hand and ask for permission to run it that way. In a moment, we'll talk about Robert Menendez and his latest problems that emerged on Friday. If you're diesel.
This season, your coffee orders are getting warmer and your outfits are getting cozier. The world keeps changing, and so does COVID-19. That's why this season's COVID-19 shots have been updated. They're one of the best ways to help protect yourself against COVID-19. You can get a COVID-19 shot at the same visit as a flu shot if you're due for both, as recommended by the CDC. Talk to your healthcare provider to learn more and schedule at vaccines.gov. And don't forget to get extra cinnamon spice. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Exergen is the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. As children return to school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a fast, non-invasive, and clinically accurate thermometer. Exergen provides all of that and is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure temperature accurately with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Connect to this radio station from all across the country. Stream us anywhere, anytime. Listen to us now on the free iHeartRadio app. Your favorite radio station is just one tap away. Download the free iHeartRadio app and search for this station so you never miss a moment.
News 101 KXL presents the Pro Football Challenge. Predict the winners every week this season, and you could win $50,000. Challenge runs through January 14th. Don't miss your shot. KXL's Pro Football Challenge. Sign up now at KXL.com.
Coalition for headache and migraine patients.
Get going, because I have to keep you here too long, because you know all what I'm about to, what I've said, and you know what I've done, and you know what we're doing, and you know what I know what you're doing. Let me close with this.
He's a president now, baby. He don't even know his name.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
He said he'd stop the virus, but it's everywhere now. Inflation's up like crazy when your leader's a clown. Still got
lots of gold. The form of bribery, and if you think they'll convict Menendez, it's New Jersey after all. He'll get an all-Democrat jury.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Monday, and that's our friend Jim Gossett, the parody guy. And what he had was the news that emerged on Friday, and that was that longtime crook and U.S. Senator Bob Menendez, Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey. You know, we got the word on Friday that he had been indicted. He had been indicted on a number of charges, extensive corruption charges. And when the federal authorities raided his home in New Jersey in June of last year, they found $100,000 in gold bars. They found $500,000 in cash. They found all kinds of things that were not easy to explain. Well, Bob Menendez came out today and he said, listen, I'm not going to resign from the U.S. Senate. I think he should. I think Bob Menendez should resign. He has faced corruption charges before, and I believe he was guilty. It turns out that the case against him fell apart in 2017. 6 years later, he's facing other charges. But then his explanation for why he had all this stuff in his house, listen to this. He says, and this is a quote from this morning's press conference, "For 30 years, I have withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash from my personal savings account, which I have kept around for emergencies because of the history of my family facing confiscation in Cuba." Now, he's going to have to prove that he had all that cash and it wasn't ill-gotten gains from bribes and things like that. I think he may have a tough road to hoe. But here's what's interesting about it. Bob Menendez is worried about confiscation in Cuba. My first thought when I saw that quote from Senator Menendez was, Bob's talking like a conservative. I mean, an awful lot of conservatives are worried about, including me, are worried about central bank digital currencies. We're worried about the government throttling various industries, including firearms, and telling people you can no longer have a bank account. Well, why not? Well, because you're in the wrong kind of business. You're in the tobacco business. You're in the oil business. You're in the firearms business. And all of a sudden, private banks, at the urging of the federal government, Operation Choke Point actually began under Barack Obama, but it wasn't the first time. In any case, Bob Menendez is worried about Cuban-style confiscation. Well, maybe in a Joe Biden America, maybe he should worry about that. So we'll see how he does when it finally comes to trial. It's a Monday. Your calls are welcome at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Our Twitter poll, should Oregon and Washington cut taxes as 25 other states have already done? Today's Twitter poll can be found at Lars Larson Show and is brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. If you rely on trucks for business, Ultimate keeps your biggest assets on the road and running right. Find them at ultimatetruckservice.com. Let's go to Robert in North Bend. Hey, Robert, welcome to the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?
Hey, Lars, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well today. Yeah, blessed by God every single day when I wake up.
Awesome. I do, too. I was calling about the mandate for the heat pumps, and yeah. I believe it's Washington. So
it'll be Oregon, too, believe me.
Oh, I'm sure. I am against mandates generally. There does come a time when some things does need some government controls. For instance, I can't have my neighbor building a really high skyscraper next door and not have the county come and make sure he does it right.
Hold on. You've just hit on one of my favorite subjects, though, Robert. Why can't you, just out of curiosity, why can't you, if your neighbor says, I'm going to put up a high rise next door to Robert's house, and you say, you can't do that without the county making sure it's done right. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Well, I'm a mechanical engineer, and if you don't do it right, thing can fall down on me, and I don't want my neighbors causing dangers or hazards for my life.
I understand that, but let me ask you a second question. If you engineer a building and you engineer it wrong and it falls down or it fails in one way or another, you're held responsible, right?
Correct.
If a construction company builds it wrong and the building fails somehow, they're held responsible, right?
Correct.
If the county signs off on a building that was built wrong and it falls down, is the county held responsible?
I don't know about that. I would hope.
No, I know about it. They are not held responsible at all. If for instance, your neighbor builds a house, he doesn't put any foundation vents in it at all. The entire interior of the house rots, turns into black mold, people get sick, people die. Do you know how much responsibility the county has?
Zero, I'm going to guess.
Zero is the exact answer. So when we talk, I mean, God bless the people in government. All governments are placed there by God. But if the county does it wrong, they hold no responsibility. They have no liability whatsoever. And as for them telling you what to do with your private property, that should be as limited as possible. Thanks for the call.
The Lars Larson Show.
FM News 101 KXL. MVP's bonus days are back at Lowe's. Shop the largest selection of Klein tools and get 5 times the bonus points. Plus, right now, buy a DeWalt PowerStack battery kit and get a select DeWalt Bear tool free, up to a $249 value. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any. Valid 9/18 through 9/29. Subject to change. DeWalt offer valid through 10/11.
Did you know gas goes bad in as little as 30 days? Bad gas can cause rough starts, poor performance, or no starts at all. Stable, America's number one fuel stabilizer, ensures quick and easy starts after storage. Stable's proprietary formula keeps fuel fresh for 2 years, outperforming competitors. Whether it's your car, truck, boat, lawnmower, leaf blower, weed trimmer, ATV, motorcycle, or anything else with an engine, when you store, start with Stable.
Sunset Highway, yeah.
Senator John Kennedy gets it.
Mr. President, you just got to try harder not to suck.
Well said, Mr. Kennedy. We agree. This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a Monday. It's my pleasure to be with you, and I'm glad to get to your phone calls and emails in a moment. I got to tell you something. There was a time, and I know that Professor Russell Berman remembers it, when America and the rest of the world took the view that the mad mullahs of Tehran, the leaders of Iran, were not allowed to have a nuclear program at all. Not a nuclear program for power, for electricity, not a nuclear program certainly to develop the components they need to be able to make nuclear weapons. And then all of a sudden it changed, largely during the Obama administration. And I know Professor Berman will be happy to correct me if I'm wrong about this, and I'll be happy to be corrected. But now we've got an Iran that is on the cusp of having nuclear weapons of its own. And so, of course, we've got the Saudi Arabians who are saying, well, if Iran gets nukes, then we're going to get nukes as well. And all of this is in the hands of a guy from Delaware who other knowledgeable people have said never got a foreign policy decision in his entire career correct. Professor Berman, welcome back.
Good to speak with you, Lars. Unfortunately, I can't correct you. You have it right.
Professor Berman is the Walter Haas Professor of Humanities at Stanford, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution, co-chair of the Working Group on Islamism and the International Order. And frankly, should we blame the Saudis if they say, well, if Iran gets a nuke, we're going to need to get nukes as well? And we've got the Joe Biden administration, which is, I guess, trying to cut a deal with Saudi Arabia, but also trying to cut a deal with Iran at the same time. And it sounds like none of it is working, which shouldn't surprise us on Joe.
Listen, I mean, there's a lot that's going on in the region, and it's complicated by the incompetence of the Biden administration. The Biden administration is indeed trying to continue the policy of the Obama administration to be soft on the mullahs and effectively pave their way to a nuclear weapon. At the same time, the Biden administration is trying to see if the Abraham Accords could be extended and lead to a rapprochement between our allies, Israel and Saudi Arabia, which would be in American national interest. Biden administration is likely to fumble that ball, but this may come to pass, mainly because it would be good for Israel and good for Saudi Arabia. The Biden administration thinks that it can control what's happening in the region. Unfortunately or fortunately, it can't. There are dynamics going on there that are beyond the control of Secretary Blinken. It's a complicated game, and the Biden administration is not doing a good job.
No, and I guess what I wonder about is the Biden administration, Joe Biden apparently wanted a deal to bring back the JCPOA. It's not a treaty. Okay. It's not a law. It's not been signed off on by the U.S. Senate as treaties are required to be. Instead, it's this piece of paper that Obama and Vice President Biden came up with without bothering to ask the people's representatives about it. And frankly, I don't blame the Saudis. If your near neighbor has nuclear weapons and you don't arm up, you may have real problems. And I wouldn't blame them. But how did we, can we take a step back from that and tell me, how did we go from Iran isn't allowed to have a nuclear program of any kind, way, shape, or form to, well, of course they're going to have a nuclear program ostensibly for peaceful purposes, but realistically we know they're going to make bombs out of it. How did we make that transformation, and why?
Well, this was the transformation that was pursued by the Obama administration, because the Obama administration and, I believe, large parts of the Democratic foreign policy establishment are effectively sympathetic to the Iranian regime. They're sympathetic to the view of the world according to which Western imperialism, U.S. imperialism, are the source of all evil. They want to make good with the Iranians because it is, as Gene Kirkpatrick once said, it's all our fault. We blame America first. That's why Iran has to get a nuclear weapon, and that's why the Obama administration pursued the JCPOA. As you correctly pointed out, it is not formally a treaty, although it is of such a stature that it should have been, but it was not a treaty because the Obama administration would have had to bring it to the Senate, and it would not have gone past the Senate, and therefore they found a workaround. So
yeah,
there's a threat implicit in Iran acquiring nuclear weapons, but there's also a threat to our constitutional procedures by the Democratic administrations, Obama and Biden, trying to circumvent the Senate. That's also a threat to the United States.
Well, see, that's one of the things that's all, I mean, I think the people who founded our country were geniuses, and the documents they wrote were geniuses. And I think they said, oh, the president wants to cut a deal with some other country. He can do that. She can do that anytime he wants. He just has to bring it to the Senate. For the life of me, I never understood, when the Republicans were still a majority in the Senate, why they didn't haul that JCPOA up and say, this is clearly a treaty. Let's vote on it as a treaty. We haven't been asked to vote on it as a treaty. Let's vote on it, and we know how the vote's going to go. It's going to go down. And then we'll just say it's inoperative because it was a treaty. It walked like a treaty. It quacked like a treaty. We voted on it. We rejected it. And just like Kyoto, you throw it on the trash pile, don't you?
Well, since it was not a treaty, it was effectively a version of an executive order. There's a little bit more than that, but it was an action by the White House, not by the Senate. And therefore, President Trump could, and wisely could, take us out of it. Biden administration has been trying to get us back into it, but it's not working because the Iranians effectively want a mea culpa from the side of the United States, which Biden administration can't accept publicly, especially as we're going into an election year.
So, Professor, when we've got a region, and I get to use a $5 word, that's a whole lot more fraught than probably any other place on the planet, and now we've got Israel I'm fairly certain they're armed with nukes. The Iranians are on the cusp of it, and now the Saudis say, well, then we're going to have to acquire nukes. Now we've got one of these really hotbed kind of regions of the world where a whole bunch of the parties are armed with nukes, and everybody who doesn't have one probably is thinking we should get one or two. Where does that go?
Well, then we'll have an arms race in the Middle East. This was initiated by the Obama administration effectively green lighting the nuclearization of Iran. Now, the Saudis, yes, the Saudis want to have power that would deter the Iranians. The United States is not going to give the Saudis nuclear weapons, but there are other ways to get nuclear weapons. Pakistan has nuclear weapons, and Pakistan is effectively part of this region too, if one cuts it slightly differently. The more Washington has cold-shouldered Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, the more we have pushed Saudi Arabia toward China, which could also be a source for nuclear technology. The region can't be controlled definitively from Washington. We should be wary of an arrogance of power, as Senator Fulbright said years ago. But the United States can play a leadership role. Unfortunately, we're not doing that now.
No, and sadly, in a region where Joe Biden said, I'll turn the Saudis into the pariahs they ought to be, and then, of course, has to backtrack on that when it's very clear he wants to go hat in hand and ask them for some more oil because of problems he created at home. I can't imagine a better way to show the Saudis and everybody else in the region that America is being run by somebody who's not terribly bright. Professor, it's a pleasure. That's Professor Russell Berman. He's at Stanford University, also senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. Back in just a moment. Glad to get your calls. 866-HEY-LARS. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network. Those of you like me who've never faced hair loss, congratulations. Studies show that one of the most attractive physical features is a full head of hair. You want to know the least attractive and the most aging? Well, it's hair loss. No amount of car, house, or success can make up for that receding or balding, as it leaves the greatest lasting physical impression. It doesn't have to be that way. Advanced Hair Restoration is now offering Portland a quick, simple, one-day solution to your hair loss. No more pills, shampoos, or injections. Just your very own natural hair guaranteed to grow. With Advanced Hair, your own natural hair begins to regrow the very next day. It can even grow out for life. Advanced Hair has helped tens of thousands of people look 10 to 20 years younger. Find out if you qualify with your free consultation, 503-832-HAIR. If it's right for you, you get 250 free hair grafts and $250 off. 503-832-HAIR or advancedhair.com. That's advancedhair.com, and tell them Lars sent you.
Remember to ask your smart speaker to play FM News 101 KXL by name.
Playing FM News 101 KXL.
Stay connected all day by listening around the house or at work to your smart speaker. FM News 101 KXL.
Helping you know who to trust and reminding you of the principles this country was founded on.
The world's going crazy and they lying to us. Don't know who to believe, so in God we trust.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to Lars Larson Show. How do you feel about $20 million worth of public taxpayer subsidy to make sure that a baseball team doesn't move? Yeah, I mean, I don't have any objection to baseball. If people want to go to baseball or movies or anything else, they surely can. But do I want to see public taxpayer dollars do it? Well, right now, the Hillsboro Hops, for example, could be forced to move elsewhere if they don't build a new $120 million stadium so that they can meet Major League Baseball standards, but they're about $20 million short. And so now what's being suggested is $38 million worth of taxes to subsidize about 1,800 hardcore Hillsboro Hops baseball fans. That's a non-starter for me. I'd be glad to debate it. Today's Twitter poll. Should Oregon and Washington cut taxes for their residents as 25 other states have done in the last 2 years since 2021? 25 other states have cut taxes. Oregon, Washington, not so much. Idaho has actually managed to cut taxes, and they actually have a government that can still live within its means. So there's that as well. By the way, this segment of the show is brought to you by NickShivers.com for an instant offer to sell your home immediately. No showing, no hassles. You pick the closing date. NickShivers.com for details. Let me go to the phones first. Let's go. Jackie in Salem has something important to put in. Jackie, thanks for listening on the Radio Northwest Network. What's happening today that you want people to be aware of?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. So I am a friend of a friend of the family, but I wanted to get this out. This last week, there is an airman that is stationed out of Wyoming who was killed, and they are bringing her body back this evening, landing in PDX at 5:30. And the honor guard is going to be bringing her back to the hometown of Springfield. So they are encouraging anybody who is able to go line the I-5 corridor to show respect for the family as they bring her body back to Springfield.
If she's going to Springfield, are you sure it's going 5, not 205?
Correct. So I-5.
Okay.
And then from when they get into Springfield, it's being the Andreessen cremation and burial is the company doing it, and they're making their way from I-5 to 126 in Springfield, Pioneer Parkway.
Jackie, thanks for that. Tell me, do you know her name and her rank?
Yes, Airman Trinity Reinhardt. And I will be doing, I have signs and everything made, and I will be in Salem at 6:30 until they pass through at the overpass of Highway 22, if anyone wants to come join me.
Well, God bless her, and may she rest in peace, and thank you for her service. Jackie, thank you very much. Let's go to Rob. Hey, Rob, welcome to the Radio Northwest Network. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call, Lars. I got a question on the immigrant status stuff. I live in a small community in Oregon, and quite a few years back, I don't remember the dates, it's probably at least 10 or so years, we had to make sure that the immigrants that we had working for us on the farms already were e-checked and had a green card or something. What's
good.
The status with all that?
Well, it's still illegal to hire somebody who doesn't have a legal right to work here. Anybody who's a citizen can work here. Anybody who has a green card can work here. And there are other kinds of work permits. Joe Biden just gave 500,000 of them away to a bunch of Venezuelans for no reason whatsoever. But employers check that? Are they required to e-verify? Not under the law. What the law says is you have to have your employees sign an I-9 form on which they attest that they are working legally in the United States and have legal residency. Do we have a whole bunch of people employing a whole bunch of illegal aliens? Yes, we do. The best estimate before the Joe Biden invasion that began 2.5 years ago was 22 to 30 million illegal aliens, not all adults. But the great number of them were adults. Now, is there a way to fix that? I've heard people say prosecute the employers. You can do it, Rob, but it's also very complicated, and it takes a long, long time to prosecute each employer. Can I tell you the best solution that doesn't have to cost the federal government much money at all, very little, to get this problem solved?
Okay.
Here's how it works.
Yeah.
Have you ever run a small business?
Yes, I do. I have a small business now.
Okay, so say you take in $500,000 in your small business, and you hope to, say, have $250,000 in wage costs, right? So you don't get to keep everything that you take in. You have to pay some to your employees. When you file your taxes, you say to the IRS, just to make it simple, I brought in $500,000. I spent $100,000 on supplies and materials. I spent $250 on labor. That equals $350. I want to pay. I'll pay taxes on the last $150 because that's my income. It isn't that simple, but that's the simplification of it. How do you solve this?
Correct.
And there was a bill in Congress more than 15 years ago that said the IRS will tell you as an employer every single dime of wages you pay out has to have a matching name and social security number to go with it. So if you had 5 employees and all of them were illegal aliens, they have no matching name and social. When you filed your taxes, the IRS would come back to you and say, hey, sorry, Rob, you owe us taxes on $250,000, probably about 80 grand. Pay us the money right now. As soon as that law went into effect, every employer in America would scour their books for every illegal alien and tell their bookkeeper and their HR department, get rid of every illegal alien. We can't afford not to be able to deduct their wages. Problem solved. You got the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson. FM News 101, KXL.
Larson Show.
Trump is the man who can save the Western world, and probably the human beings as well.
Honestly provocative talk with Lars Larson.
I may be a white boy, but I'm not stupid.
Broadcasting across the Pacific Northwest and covering Oregon, Washington, and Idaho on the Radio Northwest Network.
Live.
And now.
Then we're going to kick the Biden crime family out of the White House.
Here's your host.
Almost lost my wife, my 67 Corvette, and my cat.
Lars Larson.
Welcome back to Lars Larson Show. It's a Monday, and I think one of the biggest mistakes in the last election was the election of Marie Perez to the United States Congress. She beat, allegedly beat, I would say, Joe Kent. I don't think Kent actually lost that election, but there it is. And then you had Perez, whose family, husband, and business in Portland had actually befriended the folks from Antifa and BLM, the rioters. I didn't think much of that either. And, of course, she's not willing to talk about any of the policy choices she makes as a Democrat, because Democrats have no guts. They don't want to come on this show and answer questions, even though people know I've had Democrats on before. We're always nice as pie to them, because if I'm not nice to a Democrat, that will become the issue rather than the questions I actually ask. So I want to see Marie Perez replaced. Now, I personally have said that Joe Kent is my candidate, but I'm willing to entertain all of the candidates. And one of the possibilities is Leslie Lou Allen, who is a city council member, or was, for Camas, running for Washington's 3rd Congressional District to replace Marie Perez. Leslie, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Lars. Thanks for having me on. And I am a current Camas City Council member, so there's that. And I'm a mom of 4 children and a former prosecuting attorney.
All right, so why are you the best choice to replace Marie Perez?
So that's easy. She shouldn't be in office. That's a no-brainer. She should never have won, and she doesn't represent the values of southwestern Washington voters. She's not a moderate at all, and I'm going to expose her for the imposter that she is. As you mentioned previously on the intro, you know, she's been a big supporter of Antifa. She recently got caught bragging to New York donors about revamping the Blue Dog Democrats into rural Antifa. She's voted to increase small business regulations. That's not moderate. They fixed leaf blowers at her auto body mechanic store for Antifa members to go ahead and spread tear gas in Portland during the Summer of Love. That's not moderate. And she voted against, or she voted to keep the border open. That's not moderate. So she is not moderate. She does not reflect the values of the of Southwest Washington and the voters here in the 3rd Congressional District.
That's a great indictment of Marie Perez, and she deserves all of it. Now I want to know about your values, because, you know, one of our biggest concerns, I was once a supporter of Jamie Herrera Herrera Butler. And then she softened up and, in my view, became a rhino. And now I think she's out working to use her, you know, her track record as a member of Congress to make money, which I'm not crazy about either. Tell me where you're coming from, and how do we make sure that if you are the choice instead of Joe Kent — I've been plain about my bias in this, you know, I've got a dog in the fight, but it doesn't mean I won't change based on new information — how do we make sure that the member of Congress representing the 3rd Congressional District in Washington, Southwest Washington, stays conservative once he or she arrives in D.C.?
I'm a lifelong Republican. I have spent my entire life as a Republican. I have a proven track record as a Republican. I have 3 published law review articles on core Republican values, limited government, legislative intent, and property rights. So I don't think there's any question that I am a Republican through and through. And up until this point in my life, I've never been called a rhino.
Good.
Because I decided to file and run, and some people think it's against Joe Kent. No, I'm running against Marie Perez. We shouldn't have lost the seat, and I think that I'm the only one that can beat her.
By the way, I'm not sure that referencing your tenure at the King County Prosecutor's Office is necessarily the most conservative thing in the world. I'm not faulting you. I'm just saying the King County Prosecutor is not, you know, doing his job. The city attorney.
When you're referencing the King County Prosecuting Attorney's Office today, when I was involved with the Prosecuting Attorney's Office, it was a much different environment. It was back in the day under Norm Mailing. So, I mean, that's a little bit misleading there.
And but, I would agree.
You know, law and order is a huge concern in this state. And I think that definitely my experience as a former prosecuting attorney lends a lot of credence and should comfort voters knowing that they're going to have an advocate that's going to stand for law and order. When I knocked on the 5,000 doors when I was campaigning for Camas City Council, that was the number one thing that people said is that I do not want to see Camas or Vancouver or anywhere else in the 3rd Congressional District become like Portland. And that means the absolute lack of law and order. That means the homeless crisis. And that means all of the drugs and all of the problems that we see. I mean, that's Exhibit A is right across the river from us on what failed progressive policies can do.
I'm talking to Leslie Lou Allen, who's running for the United States Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. You can find her at Leslie, F-O-R, LeslieForWashington.com. Let me ask you about something else. We're up against a possible government shutdown. We've got a government right now that's $33 trillion in debt, trillions in unfunded mandates for Social Security, Medicare, and a lot of other things. And we've got soon to be, I guess, a $2 trillion annual deficit. How do you take that on as a member of Congress? I realize you're one of 435, but still, what do you do to get the government to constrain itself?
So I think there was three questions in that last question. How do you want me to approach your answer? Do you want
we've got a big financial problem. What should Congress be doing about it?
So, yeah, we need to rein in the federal government for sure. It's completely bloated. I mean, our founding fathers envisioned three branches of government, not a fourth branch of government that is unaccountable to the electorate. So, that's pretty easy. I mean, you can start chipping away quickly. First of all, look for fraud, abuse, and waste in every single solitary department and division. And then, you know, the next easy target would be the harm reduction program. Stop giving out free crack pipes. That would go a long way. I mean, you're right.
Where's Hunter going to get his crack pipe then, Leslie? Let me ask you about one specific that does have to do with a big pile of money. It does have to do with the third. Would you ever back an interstate bridge replacement that includes light rail at the cost of almost $2 billion?
So interesting that you asked me that, Lars. I actually sit on the Regional Transportation Commission right now as a member of the Camas City Council, and I represent, I vote for not just Camas, but Washougal as well. And I voted against the locally preferred alternative that we voted on, not this past June, but the June before, because it did have the light rail. Look, I mean, the Coast Guard said it was too low. The voters of Southwest Washington have voted down light rail repeatedly. It's a one-way ticket just for all of Portland's homeless and drugs and crime to come right across over into Southwest Washington. So, no.
You'd vote against it. I think that's at least the start.
$2
billion. All we got to do is get another 500 projects like that. We can knock a trillion off the cost. That's Leslie Lou Allen, LeslieForWashington.com. She's running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, and you've got the Lars Larson Show.
This month. market, you'll find Fisher Investments is different than other money managers.
Different how? Aren't we all just looking for the hottest stocks?
Nope. We use diversified strategies to position our clients' portfolios for their long-term goals.
You don't just provide cookie-cutter portfolios?
No. We tailor our clients' portfolios to their goals and needs.
But you still sell investments that generate high commissions for you, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We're a fiduciary, the highest standard of care for a financial advisor. It means we're obligated to act in our clients' best interest.
So when do you make more money? Only when your clients make more money?
Yep. We have one transparent management fee structured so we do better when our clients do better.
Sounds like you really look out for your clients.
We do, because our priority is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement. That might be why most of our clients come from other money managers. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you switch to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investments in securities involve the risk of loss.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
FM News 101 KXL presents the Pro Football Challenge.
Can you predict the winners every week of the season?
You could win a jaw-dropping $50,000. Embrace the competition
and make your picks count. The challenge runs through January 14th.
Don't miss your shot at 50 grand.
KXL's Pro Football Challenge.
Sign up now at KXL.com.
He's always lighting a fire under those who need it. So light it. Know who you are. This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. I want to talk about farmers here in a moment, but I want to grab a phone call first. But let me suggest this to you. We have to support our farmers. And lately, it used to be if you don't support farmers, you won't be eating. But now the question has changed a bit. If you don't support America's farmers, are we all going to end up eating bugs instead? And we'll get to that in just a moment. First, if you want to jump into the best conversation in talk journalism, it's right here every day at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. Send your emails to talk@LarsLarson.com. Let's start with Paul. Hey, Paul, you heard me talking about New York's governor, Kathy Hochul, and how she's done a complete 180, and I take it that's what you called in about, that she was not too long ago saying, oh, everybody who's in Joe Biden's illegal alien invasion is welcome to come to New York State. And now she's saying, don't even bother coming. There's no room left. Go somewhere else. What do you what do you think about all that?
Yeah, hi, Lars. Yeah, that is one thing I'd like to make a comment or two about, but I'd like to also make some reference to the Stanford professor that was talking to you a little while ago.
Oh, Russell Berman, where we were talking about Saudi Arabia wants to get a nuke because Barack Obama made it possible for the Iranian mad mullahs to get a nuke. So now, as predicted, the Saudis will want nukes, and pretty soon the whole region will be armed with nukes.
Exactly, and it just brought the thought up to me that former Defense Secretary Gates said about Biden that he had never made a good or correct decision in the previous 40 years.
Yep.
And just, I'd like to add to that that I don't think he's made a correct decision in that issue or any other issue since he's been president.
I would agree with that. I mean, you can go right back and say, what are the bad decisions? Well, you pull out of Afghanistan, just without any kind of preparation at all. Americans get killed. Thousands of Americans get trapped in behind Taliban lines. So that was a bad decision. You practically invite Putin to invade Ukraine by saying, well, if it's a small invasion, we might have to have some kind of response. You don't do anything to try to push the Russians back when you could have to keep them out of Ukraine, because I think Joe Biden, frankly, I'm not a big one on conspiracy theories, but think about this. The Biden crime family has made lots of money, allegedly as much as $20 million out of Ukraine. Do you think if Joe saw the potential for kind of inviting an invasion of Ukraine, that that would then make American aid become it's incumbent for the president to say, well, we're going to help them out. And we send, I think, total of $113 billion has been committed to Ukraine. And how much of that is being diverted by the oligarchs who paid the Biden crime family up to $20 million out of Ukraine. I mean, there's a great money-making potential there. It's a tragedy for everybody else, and it's a cost to the American taxpayers. But what do you think of that theory?
Well, it's been a corrupt country for as long as it's been on its own, and even as part of the former USSR. And the lack of accountability for the dollars given is really a concern. I mean, I don't see why that can't be part of their agreement. It's just like you say, who knows where the money's going?
But then you get to this, and I wish I could say the Latin phrase, but it's who will guard the guardians? If you said we want accountability and transparency, and the Ukrainians, I mean, every Ukrainian I've ever interviewed tells me, whether they've moved to America or whether they're still in Ukraine, they say Ukraine is a notoriously corrupt country. So if you say to them, well, we need to have some paperwork to show where the money went, do you think they're just as capable of making up fake paperwork and fake transparency as anybody who works in the American mob?
Well, at least the appearance of accountability would be better than no accountability.
I guess it'd be like saying, hey, I think you ripped me off. And somebody, the person you're doing business with says, let me get you the paperwork and show that you haven't been ripped off at all. And you look at all the paperwork and you say, well, this appears to say that my money went to where it was supposed to go. But how do I know that it's true? And you say, you know, it's true because I told you it's true.
Well, I agree. And just regarding the Hochul and Eric Adams and that situation, the fact that the border situation is becoming undeniably worse and their virtual signaling attempt up until recently has been no more than that. But I think now just the fact that it's costing them in real terms trying to deal with the situation, but also to try to separate themselves as much as they can from the negative stuff that the rest of the country is starting to pick up on for their own political purposes is a big part of why they're changing their tone.
Well, except the one piece of their tone that hasn't changed, Paul, and this is what I'm waiting for, because I always cite Frank Rizzo and, you know, a conservative is a liberal who got mugged last night, because the person who's the most warm, fuzzy, oh, the rights of criminals and we shouldn't put people in jail. And then they get mugged. You know, they get beat up and their wallet or their purse gets taken. And the next day, they're sounding as conservative as Donald Trump or Ronald Reagan. You say, wow, that's a transformation. Yeah, that's what happens when you get beat up and your wallet stolen or your purse stolen. But I'm waiting for Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, or Kathy Hochul to say, President Biden is wrong about this invasion of America. And until they do that, all they're doing is saying, gosh, we want all the illegal aliens to come in the country. We just don't want them to come to our neighborhood. Let's go to Ron. Hey, Ron, welcome to the Lars Larson Show. What's on your mind?
Well, I've noticed that you've had a lot of New York politicians mentioned in your show today, and they all are pretty much the bottom of the barrel, politicians. We'll just put it that way, which makes me want to reply about something else in New York. Mr. Bob Menendez.
New Jersey. You got to put him in the right state. He's in New Jersey, not New York. But hey, 601, half dozen the other. New York thinks everything west of the Hudson is New Jersey. So from my West Coast perspective, maybe I can do the same to New York and New Jersey.
There you go. You know, it seems like must be in the water on both sides of those states there, because it seems to me that, you know, we're looking at all this corruption, Lars, and if I'm not mistaken, now correct me now if I'm mistaken here. I wouldn't want to be incorrect here.
No.
I believe Mr. Bob Menendez's prior problem was that he went on vacations to have sex with minors in foreign countries.
There was money involved as well, but there were children that he was accused of molesting, and the testimony was, this is a guy who likes very, very young girls. Translate that as, this is a pedophile. And I think he's got that problem as well. And by the way, think about the Democrats that have that problem. You've got, you've got Epstein, who's allegedly dead, maybe murdered, maybe suicided, who is friends with Bill Gates, who's friends with Hillary and Bill Clinton, who's friends with all those other people. And then you got Menendez, who likes young girls, and you got the Podesta brothers. And I mean, you're starting to make a list, And you got a long, long list. And are there some Republicans who've done bad things as well? Absolutely right. But the Democrats seem to have cornered the market on pedophilia and corruption. The Republicans, I'm for putting all of them in jail. If they've broken the law, they go to jail. If they've touched a child, they go to jail. And believe me, that perv in the White House who's always putting his hands on adult women and children of both genders, pervy Joe's got to go too. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show.
The Lars Larson Show. Portland's news.
In the night, they stole them votes. Like a thief in the night, they stole them votes. 2,000 mules on a mission. 2,000 mules on a mission, rigging the election.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm always glad to get to your phone calls and emails. I'll do more of that in just a moment. But first, I want to talk a bit about what has happened since Roe v. Wade was overturned in June of last year. I know the decision, or what was alleged to be the decision, got out earlier than that, but the Supreme Court's official announcement came just about a year ago in June. And the question is, what effect has that had on the rest of the country? Sean Carney is CEO and president of 40 Days for Life. Sean, welcome back to the program.
It's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
And it was good to see Roe v. Wade overturned, because I know that the Democrats and liberals who have to be pro-abortion, they don't even call it pro-abortion, but they call themselves, you know, pro-choice and all these little grammatical workarounds to avoid actually saying the A word. But they always said, well, it's a right from the Constitution, which nobody else could find in the Constitution except the Supreme Court 50 years ago. This has been a great development for America, and it puts the decision-making back in the hands of states. So what's happened since that decision?
Well, since that decision, we've seen abortion advocates have to do something that they haven't had to do in 50 years, because they've had the comfort of Roe, and that's discuss abortion, and they're not very good at it. That's why you see these absurd things where they're promoting infanticide. You see abortion becoming really a sacrament for our federal government, whether it be the FDA that's deregulating chemical abortions, or the DOJ that's targeting pro-life groups, or the military that's now saying we're just going to fly everybody around so that they can get abortions. The reaction
and pay for them, by the way, in violation of the Hyde Amendment. Yeah,
it was very reactionary on their end. On our end, it's been great. I mean, we have grown significantly in the grassroots. People should know the grassroots pro-life movement in America is the example for the world. It's very robust. Pregnancy resource centers outnumber abortion providers 5-1 across the country, including states like California, New Jersey, and Illinois. We have things like 40 Days for Life, where we regularly go out and offer alternatives to abortion, where the abortions actually take place. The abortion industry has nothing like that at the local level. They're very top heavy. So the base of the pro-life movement was much more motivated with the overturning of Roe. It wasn't, well, the work's done, let's go home. It was quite the opposite. So we've had an increase in locations and volunteers in the U.S. And that's despite losing some locations for the best reason, which is an abortion facility closed post-Roe. So I would say enthusiasm and growth would characterize what's happened in the pro-life movement.
Well, and you know what I would hope, Sean, is that we take that the Republican office seekers and office holders are forced to actually advocate for this, because it seems like an absolutely amazing moment in history where you've got the Vice President of the United States. I realize she's not the sharpest tool in the shed. She has a tough time speaking most of the time, just like her boss. But when she was asked, I think it's now about a week and a half ago, would you tell us how far you're willing to go with this? Would you take abortion right up to the moment of birth? Which is, of course, what the piece of legislation that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been pushing says. It says take it up to the moment of birth. And even they get not just queasy, Kamala Harris just flatly refused to answer the question. And you think, this is your issue. You want to have abortions up to this moment. Are you not willing to actually say it out loud? It's like somebody who, you know, I wish I could come up with a better metaphor, but Sean, somebody who says, I really, really want a, well, I'd like an adult beverage that's cold. It's a hot day. And you say, why don't you just say beer? You say, well, and if they can't bring themselves to say it, then that shows that they're uncomfortable with the idea too, doesn't it?
I like that analogy. Another one is, if abortion is legitimate health care, which it's not, that's why they always have to tell us that it is. If you asked her, look, if your uncle gets in there and he's examined for his triple bypass surgery, and the cardiologist looks at you and says, hey, he needs quadruple bypass, are you okay with doing quadruple bypass? She'd be like, yeah, the doctor said he needed it. Do it. What? This isn't controversial. Healthcare's not controversial when it's necessary, and abortion's not necessary. And so there's two sides of it. There's, do you believe in abortion up to 40 weeks? She says yes. Or do you believe in abortion up to 40 weeks? She says nothing, or she says no. Why not? Why would you deny a woman access to healthcare and not allow abortion at 40 weeks? What's wrong with an abortion? And make them talk about it. And that's what's so good for us in a post-Roe world, because we're realizing that we can no longer live in the fantasy of 1973 science. And that is exactly what Alito put in the opinion. They are trying to drag us out of 1973 science. We do surgeries on unborn children. We don't allow pregnant women to get on a roller coaster. It's just unbelievable the precedent we have of protecting the unborn. And we can't live in a country where you're simply not a human being in California, and you are in Texas. That's not sustainable. It didn't work with slavery. It won't work with abortion, because we're forced to be schizophrenic. And that's why you see the confusion on her face.
Well, the other two things that I wish conservatives would keep reminding, because it seems like a great time to do that, is the history of Margaret Sanger and eugenics. And you say, who championed putting all those abortion clinics in all those minority neighborhoods? Well, that would be a lady who wanted to wipe out the black population in America. You say, well, who is that? Nobody knows her name. Margaret Sanger. I mean, Hillary Clinton got the Margaret Sanger Award. Remind them of that history and say, are you still interested in wiping out groups of people because of their skin color? Because that's what Margaret Sanger wanted to do. And today, many of the abortion clinics and a proportionate majority of the abortions are done on black women. So is your cause to get rid of black American babies before they're born? I mean, abortion's ugly enough on its own. But when you start doing it and saying, we're going to wipe out all the Down syndrome kids, we're going to wipe out any kid that isn't picture perfect, you know, and we want you to use this tool to do it. I can't imagine the average American saying, yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
And this is what's horrible to see, these terrible Republicans botching this, because it's just there for the taking. And, you know, if you are pro-eugenics, which many people are, they just won't say it out loud. But if you're pro-eugenics, abortion is the greatest thing in the world. And I don't understand why you can't ask people, you know, look, black Americans make up 13% of the population and 43% of all abortions.
Yep.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, the other thing, Sean, that's a little softer is this. Everybody wants to say, well, it's for incest, rape, and to save the life of the mother. And the best numbers out of Florida say that's 2 or 3%. What about the other 97? What's the great excuse there? And I always tell people it's convenience. That's the justification. And you said, what do you mean convenience? I said, well, some young lady says, yeah, I'm pregnant by my last boyfriend, but now I'm with a new guy and the baby ain't going over too good with the new boyfriend. Or I got pregnant, by somebody other than the man I'm married to. And that's not convenient. Or I'm about to start school or a new job and a baby at this point would be inconvenient. I said, how far are we going to go to let people, you know, terminate a human life because of their own personal convenience? And they say, no, it's more than that. It's rape, incest, and save the life of the mother. And you say, that's 2 to 3%. What about the other 97? Sean Carney is the CEO and president of 40 Days for Life. We'll be back in a moment. I'll get you your calls at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. You're listening to the Lars Larson Show and the Radio Northwest Network. Summer is fast approaching, and now's the perfect time to get new asphalt or repair the pavement you already have. Hey, it's Lars for Signature Paving. Call today and get on Signature's schedule and avoid the muddy tires and crumbled asphalt we all know are coming when the leaves start to fall. And remember, Signature Paving can do whatever it takes to get you ready for the change in seasons. Paving, striping, curbing, patch repairs, and overlays. Mike and his team deliver it all, and the work is always performed by their own employees with their own equipment. No subcontractors here. That means better scheduling and complete control to finish your project on time and on budget. Get your asphalt ready like I did. Call Signature Paving today. 503-554-8553. That's 554-8553. Or find them at signaturepavingservices.com. That's signaturepavingservices.com. Signature Paving, their name, your guarantee. CCB 135-293.
Wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Listen to FM News 101 KXL anytime, anywhere you are. Online at KXL.com. On your smart speaker. On a traditional radio. Or on your smartphone. No matter how you stay connected. It's FM News 101 KXL.
Patience.
Even from the back of his truck, Buddy Brown is preaching truth.
Because we're from the government and we're here to help. Hey! You lie to your face, act like you don't have a clue. We're living in D.C., we're called the Ministry of Truth.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. It's a pleasure to be with you on a Monday, live on the Radio Northwest Network that has endeavored over the last almost 24 years, it'll be 24 at the end of this year, to serve the Pacific Northwest states, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho, with honestly provocative talk. This segment of the show is brought to you by the home power generating folks at ProTech Power. Make sure your loved ones are safe when the power goes out. 541-ONAGEN. That's the number, 541-ONAGEN. And our Twitter poll question today, should Oregon and Washington cut their tax rates as 25 other states have done? That's 25 out of 50 for all of us conservatives, 25 out of 58 if you happen to be an Obama voter. But the Taxpayers Association of Oregon has said that a list of states that have cut taxes just since 2021 now includes 25 states. Oregon and Washington, not among them. Idaho is one of them. To your calls now at 866-HEY-LARS. That's 866-439-5277. And by the way, the Twitter poll is brought to you by Ultimate Truck Services. Find them at ultimatetruckservice.com. Rob, welcome to the program. What's on your mind? And thanks for listening on the Radio Northwest Network.
Yes, Lars, I'm a longtime listener of KBI and of your program. I enjoy listening as often as I can.
Thank you.
Anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about insurance, homeowners insurance. Do you know much about homeowners insurance at all?
A bit. I pay the bill on my home. I advise people to get it. I think it's a smart thing to do, and I think it's incredibly problematic.
And I have it on my home also, but I have a 20-acre parcel in Okanagan County in eastern Washington, and I just got my latest premium notice for the 2023 to 2024 year, and I got a real shock here. It went from $578 a year to $847 a year. That's a 46.5% increase, and I've called the company. I couldn't get much satisfaction out of calling Safeco itself. That's who handles the insurance. Well,
Rob,
there's an independent agent.
Because we don't have all the time in the world, let me guess. Is this about wildfire primarily?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's their main excuse, you know. And
well, it's not an excuse, Rob. I mean, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the forests and the wildlands of Oregon and Washington are well managed right now?
No, not at all.
Okay. And who's in charge of that? The state governments, for the most part, of Oregon and Washington are in charge of that. And, you know, when the people in the cities vote for these knucklehead Democrats, mostly, there may be a few Republicans who are to blame, and they say, we're going to have somebody like Jay Inslee who's going to mismanage the forests, and we go from a period of time where we had almost no forest fires for 35 years, from 1952 to 87, when we had active logging in the Northwest forests, and we made a lot of money for a lot of people and created a lot of jobs. And then we go to almost no logging on public lands, most of it on private lands, and all of a sudden, every year, during those 35 years, there was one fire bigger than 10,000 acres. One. Today, the average loss in Oregon is 500,000 acres a year. The average loss in Washington is 500,000. And on a big fire year, thank God we haven't had one of those this year, it's 1,000,000 acres. So imagine if you went, I mean, if you owned a company and you said, how many fires have you had at your company in the last 30 years? Almost none. How many have you had in the last couple of years? Well, we have fires almost every single year at our plant. You'd say something is wrong with the way you're running your plant if you went decades with no fires, and now all of a sudden you've come to expect fires are a regular thing that happens every year and always will happen and will cause a lot of damage. Doesn't that suggest mismanagement?
Oh, yes. It sure does. And, you know, I can adjust my income, which is a very moderate retired income. I'm on a fixed income. To the inflation, 5 or 10%, but when you start going up 46.5%, you know, there's a lot of people that own recreational property that are retired, and these kind of increases, I'm really having second thoughts now about even keeping the property.
You might have to sell it. And Rob, the only thing I'd encourage you to do, when you called in, it sounded like you said, I want to blame the insurance company, these terrible people. You know what? All the insurance company, well, but if you're the insurance company, and you say, okay, what are we going to do this year? We're going to insure 1,000,000 acres of land. Well, how much damage are we going to get every year on average? You work out how much the damages are going to be, and then you price the insurance accordingly. If the insurance company ain't running the forests, and all of a sudden the forests are catching on fire every single year with hundreds of thousands of acres going up in flames, do you have any choice as an insurance company other than to increase the premiums? because you got to bring in enough to pay the damages every year and your administrative costs and maybe make a profit every single year. Because if you don't make a profit, you won't have to worry about Safeco. They'll be out of business. So if forces outside of their control, but within the control of the state legislatures of Oregon and Washington, within the control of the head of the executive branch, and that's dimwit Tina Kotek in Oregon and climate Jay Inslee in Washington, it is within their control to change the circumstances and reduce the number of fires and actually make money in the deal. And they say, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to tell you fairy tales about climate change and global warming and all that garbage. Rob, blame the right people and then hold them accountable. And you have a chance to do that. We're headed up to an election year. You're listening to the Radio Northwest Network.
The Lars Larson Show.
FM News 101, KXL.